I'm Cole Wright with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Lions took care of the Giants on Monday Night Football in East Rutherford, New Jersey, moving to 2-0 on the season. Matt Stafford, 2 touchdowns on the evening, and Detroit's defense leading the way with 5 sacks against Eli Manning and company. The final score, 24-10. In other news, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport is reporting that the Falcons are expected to be without reigning NFL sack leader Vic Beasley Jr. for at least a month due to that right hamstring tear. Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski says he's day-to-day with a groin injury. Now, Gronk said it's no big deal, and he feels good. However, he did leave Sunday's game in New Orleans in the third quarter and did not return. Meanwhile, Vikings quarterback Sam Bradford did not play Sunday in Minnesota's loss to Pittsburgh. He had an MRI in his knee last week, and his head coach Mike Zimmer addressed the media Monday and says that Bradford is feeling better, and he's day-to-day. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Napa Know How. When you purchase a set of Napa brake pads and rotors, you get a discount code from Fanatics.com worth up to $50 towards your favorite sports gear. While Napa can't help your team reach the promised land, we can help make sure your car will, because these brakes come with something no sports team does: guaranteed performance. Great brakes, great price, great fan gear. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
Offer expires September 30th, 2017.
Finding great people to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. It's time to try ZipRecruiter, where 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within one day. How? Using powerful technology, ZipRecruiter matches your job to the right candidates fast. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, only ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/block for your free trial. ZipRecruiter.com/block.
5:05, welcome in. It is hour number two of the Todd Brommelkamp Show, or as I like to call it, can't possibly get any worse today, can it? Hour number two, kicking off here momentarily. We'll talk Hawkeye football with Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register. Ed Creech from MLBTradeRumors.com said to join us at 6:05 tonight. Lots to talk about with Ed, including that big matchup between the Twins and the Yankees tonight, which we will be joining in progress on 107.5 FM. Jose Berríos on the mound for the Twins, going against a gentleman by the name of C.C. Sabathia. Not to be confused with C.C. Waterback, which was a Merle Haggard song. Alex, when's the last time you've listened to Merle Haggard? I'm going to guess.
Now, didn't he pass away within the last couple of years?
Yes.
So I'm pretty sure the last time I listened to a Merle Haggard song is when you gave him a tribute the day
you may
that he passed away.
Or may not have heard him, depending. See, you're not at Coach's Corner a whole lot on Fridays anymore because you're doing the high school football thing. But you may or may not hear it in the background occasionally at Coach's Corner, where we will be on Friday for another KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. Stop on in from 4 until 7. And you know what? I saw our next guest at Coach's Corner last week. He was sitting at the end of the bar with his colleague from the Des Moines Register, Mark Emmert. I think they were drinking glasses of water and eating salads. My memory could be a little blurry on that. Chad Lystico with us from the Des Moines Register. That's what you guys were doing last Friday, right, at Coach's Corner, Chad?
Yeah, just talking shop, having a nice, responsible night together.
Water and salads all around. It's on me the next time I see you guys walk in the door there. Iowa-Penn State, Saturday night. There's a lot of talk about revenge after what happened last year in Happy Valley. Some players seem to have it on their minds. Others are downplaying it. Do you think that that is a factor for the Hawkeyes as they prepare for Penn State this week?
You know, my sense of it, Todd, was pretty minor. Kirk Ferentz, I thought, made a pretty darn good point that a lot of the guys that they're going to throw out on the field weren't even there last November. Even just think about Nate Stanley. I mean, he didn't play a snap in that game. Think about all the freshmen that are playing now. I mean, even Noah Fant probably didn't play much in that game. T.J. Hockenson. Alaric Jackson was redshirting, and now we're talking about Torrin Young and Ivory Kelly Martin getting a lot of reps. I think for some of the guys that that want to make this a motivational thing, I think it's good. But again, I just don't think it's going to be a huge storyline this week.
for the defensive guys that, that were there last year, has the Saquon Barkley quitting comment stuck with him at all?
Yeah, you know, we asked, I did ask a few guys about that, and so did others. It was clear that they were aware of those comments. It wasn't like they were asking what he said. They knew what he said. So, I think that that was notable. Obviously, they weren't making a big deal about it today, publicly. But I have to believe that when you get your, willingness to play hard question, especially for a program that prides itself on fighting for 60 minutes, tough, smart, physical, is the slogan. I think that probably stuck with him, and I'm sure that helped him actually beat Michigan the following week, actually.
What's your sense on James Butler's injury? I know Ferentz is talking about Northwestern and after the bye week, October 21st, but watching him come off the field on Saturday seemed like he was really down in the dumps.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not be? I mean, this is was such a big move for him and probably – kind of hope to kind of make his mark at a Big Ten school. And this was always his dream to come here to play at Iowa. And now it looks like, not only was he cut short the other day, but probably, at least a month now, he's going to be out. And who knows where he'll be if and when he is ready with that elbow injury. I don't have specifics on exactly what it was, but wouldn't be surprised if it was something like a hyperextension or even a Tommy John like Drew Ott had famously after 2015 Iowa State. So, but what happens when he comes back? I mean, where will the running game be with Wadley, Torn Young, and Ivory Kelly Martin? I mean, who knows? It sounds like we're going to see all three of those guys on Saturday against Penn State. So we'll see what happens.
Speaking of Torn Young and Ivory Kelly Martin, you mentioned that they will probably both of them will play on Saturday. Do you expect one of those to emerge, or do you think they'll kind of split carries until James Butler is ready to come back?
What we don't really know about either of those guys, at least in real games, is how they pick up blitzes, what types of things they do when they're not running the ball. I mean, we saw Young and Kelly Martin in the game when it was basically handoff right, handoff left, handoff straight ahead. Iowa didn't hardly pass at all when they were in the game. So who will emerge? I think it'll depend on situation. I mean, I was very impressed with both guys, to be honest. I think it would be probably good for the team if each of those guys were in the 5 to 10 carry range on Saturday. That also means that Iowa's moving the ball a little bit on the ground, so that would be a good thing for the Hawkeyes. But it sounds like Akram Wadley is a full go, and that's obviously really good news.
It also sounds like Akram Wadley, the next time he scores a touchdown, is going to hand the football off to the official and then quickly make his way back to the Iowa sideline. Have you quite processed what we saw Saturday at Kinnick Stadium yet?
Well, first of all, that's going to be a funny image because, we're so used to Wadley, doing a little bit of something. I mean, whether it's feed me or whatever, high stepping. He's always got a little something when he scores, so that'll be interesting if he just courteously hands the ball to the ref. I actually followed up on that a little bit, and by the letter of the NCAA rules, I mean he did. It's a crazy rule. I'm almost shocked it's in there, but he did, and that is a rule that it can be an unsportsmanlike penalty if you alter your stride with a clear path to the end zone. That's how it's worded. So, and silliness, obviously, especially that it's enforced from the spot of the foul, just seems really silly to me. But, like I said on our post-game podcast, it's not like, again, I know that's the rule, but it's not like he turned around and flipped somebody off or, made a derogatory motion. He didn't even look backwards. I mean, it's just silly that that's a penalty.
Yeah, and to me, I thought, okay, as I read that rule, if you're at the 2-yard line and you somersault into the end zone or something and alter your stride, there you go. But the high stepping boy borderline stuff there. But I guess the lesson is, if you pee on an electric fence once, you won't do it again. And if you're Akram Wadley, you're not going to high step and celebrate again. So lesson learned here. Hopefully, moving forward, Chad Lystico from the Des Moines Register joining us as we talk Iowa. Penn State, Saturday, 6:30, under the lights at Kinnick Stadium. Saquon Barkley, Trace McSorley, probably two of the better players in the Big Ten, and they're both on the same team. Which one has a bigger impact Saturday?
Well, boy, that's a really good question, Todd. Obviously Barkley had, I think it was 211 yards from scrimmage last year, but certainly McSorley is the guy that makes that offense go. So I would say him, because he can tuck it and run. He can fake a handoff, run, stop, throw the ball downfield. He's a sensational player. I was thinking about this. If one of those guys were to get hurt, I think it would probably be beneficial for Iowa to go to the backup quarterback over whatever four-star is their backup running back. So I'm going to say McSorley.
Now, having said that, is Saquon Barkley going to be the most explosive player that Iowa faces all season?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, I think he's probably – I don't think you'd get a huge argument if you said he's one of the top two or three in the country in terms of what – I mean, he's 5'11", 230 pounds, and he can run like crazy. And he's a threat out of the backfield. That's the other part that's easy to forget. I think he had 100 and some receiving yards the other day. He had a long touchdown pass against Iowa last year, with Bo Bauer chasing him down. And a 57-yard touchdown run against the Hawkeyes, too. So he can do it all. He's strong. Yeah, I think so. And I thought Montgomery of ISU was really good, too, but this guy's even better.
We talked a little bit yesterday on the program about the changes that Iowa's made in the defensive backfield, but what have you seen from Imani Hooker so far through the first couple games that maybe gives you the confidence in putting him out there against Penn State this weekend?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I think everybody on Iowa's defense had a rough game against Penn State last year. I mean, so there's really no, pointing fingers. You can point every finger, but certainly Iowa's safeties had a rough game last year, including Miles Taylor. So it's notable that Iowa's going to a three-man rotation at safety. I think they're looking to see who can emerge even more. That's kind of a trial by fire. I did think Hooker, played pretty well, pretty representative for his first extended action. He was physical back there. That was really good to see. So I think Iowa needs really what you want out of that safety position is somebody who's going to tackle hard and make a hit and not miss a tackle. I mean, that's basically what you want back there. And I thought he looked good doing it. Ference even said today, it won't be this week, but maybe Geno Stone kind of gets punched into that rotation here at some point too, a true freshman back there. Not this week, but maybe later in the year. So that's something to watch out for.
The players and the coaches have talked about some of the small things that they need to clean up. One of those things has been the uncharacteristic amount of penalty yardage that this team has racked up over the first three games. What do you make of this?
Well, I mean, a couple of the false starts have been Alaric Jackson. That's a freshman. Obviously, having a freshman quarterback, I think. I mean, the guy lined up under left guard Boone Myers the other day, so he's going to make mistakes. And the penalties the other day, actually North Texas had a lot more than Iowa did that were accepted. But, some of those were aberrations. I mean, I thought that the Manny Rugamba late hit was actually pretty iffy call as well. When you look at it on the tape, I mean, the guy put his hand on him maybe as he was going out of bounds, and he just tumbled into the field goal net. So I think some of it's just sort of three-game carelessness and also a little bit of depends on the crew.
What do you think we know about the Hawkeyes after the non-conference portion of their schedule? Chad, we've watched them play three games. We've watched them play three very different games, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think overall, I would say the offense is much more diverse and much better than I expected. I mean, I think they're averaging 33 points a game, I want to say. And, but I think that on the flip side, I think the defense has been really underwhelming each of the last 2 weeks. I know it's getting them some credit for the second half against North Texas, but they were hardly on the field. I think there were maybe 20 snaps, in that second half. So I think it was 6.6 yards a play against Iowa State, 6.5 against North Texas, or vice versa. That's a lot of yards per play. Only one team put up more than that last year against the Hawkeyes, and that was Penn State, which was 8.6. So, yeah, I'm somewhat underwhelmed by the defense so far. I do think Josie Jewell is banged up, and that's going to be a story all year.
You mentioned the offense being a little bit more diverse. What through three games? What are those biggest change? Are the biggest changes you see in this offense under first year offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz?
I think it starts with the tight ends. I mean, just they're using them in a lot of different ways. I mean, we even saw Fant and Hockenson both as blocking fullbacks and coming in motion. I mean, we've seen both of those guys be really reliable so far, third and fourth down targets. But that's where, you know, some good stuff has happened. And then certainly in the run game, there's just a lot of variety of runs. You know, inside, outside, reverses. The only thing we really haven't seen yet is like Nate Stanley maybe faking a handoff and running. Maybe we'll see that soon too. So I like the creativity and the matchups that Brian Ferentz has found through three games. I'd give him an A so far.
What are your thoughts as Big Ten play kicks off this weekend about the Big Ten West? Iowa, one of three teams that is 3-0 going into this weekend. The other two teams don't play, Wisconsin and Minnesota, but the big story really has been Nebraska and the poor start that the Huskers are off to.
Yeah, really good question. I think I tweeted this out about 1 in the morning on Saturday. I thought my new order would be Wisconsin 1, Iowa 2, Purdue 3, Minnesota 4, Northwestern 5, Nebraska 6, and Illinois 7. Through three games, and I mean, I would stick by that for sure. I think Nebraska looks like a team that doesn't have an identity. That's something we talked about a lot, even in the preseason. What is their identity? I don't think they've found it yet. And obviously, Purdue and Minnesota with new coaches have really looked good. You know, a lot of people think Purdue should have been ahead of Iowa in my little rankings, unscientific rankings. But, you know, we'll see how they do against Michigan this week, and then we'll reevaluate.
Were you tweeting that at 1 a.m. because you were worried that Husker fans would see it and you didn't want to deal with them?
I had actually just gotten home back in Adel and flipped on. I wasn't quite tired yet, so I flipped on the Iowa game. And, you know, in hindsight, when you look at that Iowa-North Texas game, I thought Iowa played pretty decent, considering, I mean, we know all about trap spots. You know, you talk about them all the time. I mean, this was a classic spot where you know Iowa's going to have a letdown. And they kind of did and had some, you know, fumbled in the end zone through the, you know, for a touchback. And then some weird things happened to keep it close for a while. But in the end, when you look at the stats, I mean, Iowa ends up, 41 minutes of time of possession. And so I came away a little bit more big picture thinking that, this is a pretty good non-conference campaign for Iowa.
Please tell me that the Rendezvous Lounge is still open in Adel.
I'm actually not familiar with that, so it might not be.
Oh, no. Okay.
Not my scene, whatever that is.
Okay, well, I thought I would ask. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register, you can read his stuff at hawkcentral.com, and Nebraska fans, direct your hate mail to him there. Chad, we appreciate it. As always, we will see you Saturday, Kinnick Stadium, under the lights.
I'll be there. Thanks, guys.
Great stuff, as always, with Chad Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com, set to join us coming up at 6:05 tonight. On the way next, you'll hear coaches' cuts from Kirk Ferentz's news conference today, brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. More of the Todd Bromelkamp Show on the way after this.
These are the $25 Mediacom's taking off the price of its Extreme packages every month for a whole year. That's right. Mediacom's taking $25 a month off its Extreme packages for a whole year. Just show them your current bill from the satellite TV or slow DSL service you've got now. You'll get up to 100 megabit internet with matching Wi-Fi speeds, TiVo DVR, over 230 channels, free on demand, and nationwide calling. Extreme packages with TV, internet, and phone are as low as $24.99 per service a month for 1 year when bundled. Plus, for a limited time, choose a free one-year bonus, either Showtime or a speed boost up to 200 megabits. Just get out your current provider's bill and call Mediacom at 1-800-SIMPLIFY for details. That's 1-800-SIMPLIFY.
Limited time offer available to qualified new MediaCom customers switching from a competitive TV or HSD service provider. Prices do not include installation, modem rental, activation, taxes, fees, and sports and broadcast surcharges. Internet speeds may vary and a monthly data usage allowance applies. Additional charges and restrictions may apply. Not available in all areas.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids, and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Welcome back in, 5:23, the Todd Brommel Camp Show on a September 19th, Tuesday afternoon, turning into evening. Absolutely beautiful out there tonight. Look at that. Absolutely gorgeous here in eastern Iowa. 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, our North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 1600, that's the historic main gym frequency, all taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Details on what's to come in just a little bit on our next big board update. But first, time for coaches' cuts from Kirk Ferentz's news conference. Some of the meatier clips, more meat on the bone for you, brought to you by our friends at Network Computer Solutions, the solution to your missing IT pieces. Give them a call, 247-7223. Here's Kirk.
I know there's been a lot of talk a little bit about avenging last year's game, or, you know, revenge factors, that type of thing. You know, the reality is we have a lot of players that are playing for us now that weren't on the field. Many of them weren't even on the trip last year. So that really is not a topic of conversation. Our focus right now, our motivation, is basically to play our best for 60 minutes, and that's what it's going to take to be victorious.
Are there things you can apply from the way they attacked you last year to the way you're playing this year and kind of mesh that all together for Saturday?
Yeah, you know, the only thing we might have done all right with last year would be the coin toss, and I have to look it up. I don't know if we won or lost. We probably lost that too, you know. So there wasn't much out of that tape we can take, and that's one of the tricks right now. You know, I mean, we're looking at it, obviously, but you know, there's just not a lot there right now. So, you know, all I know is we're playing a team that's really good, and we're gonna have to play better than we did last year. That's for sure.
Are there similarities between how you maybe try to contain him to what Josh Allen? Both guys can move and create when plays break down.
Yeah, their offense is really different. The way they do things: start the quarterback, he'll run it or throw it. He's really good at reading things out, and you know, he's dangerous. I mean, he makes plays with his feet as well as his arm. You know, Barkley can hurt you run or pass that way, and then the tight end's a heck of a target. And typical of Penn State, they've got a good-looking group of receivers. I know they graduated a guy or two that were really good, but they've got other guys out there right now that are playing well. So, you know, it's you know, they're good all along, and their offensive line's huge, and they're really well-coached. They do a nice job.
In your time here, do you remember a matchup like that where these two guys are so similar, so high profile?
Yeah, and I mean this with all due respect to Akron, but I mean, we're talking about Barkley being one of the guys that's going to be, you know, I would imagine a top five pick. I don't know all the seniors in the country, but my guess is he would have been pretty high last year. And you know, Akron's a really good football player too. But, you know, you look at their surrounding cast, the supporting cast, and their entire offense, man for man, 11 guys. There's a reason why they won the championship last year, you know, and why they had such a good year. There's a reason why they're in the top five right now. They're a team that's really loaded right now. They're playing well. They've got good players. So, you know, if you start comparing it that way, and football is all about team. Akron makes some plays on his own that, you know, I mean, he's really good at that, obviously. But, you know, we're going to need to help him. It can't just all be about Akron.
Limiting the big plays. I mean, is there a key to limiting, you know, because Penn State's quick strike a lot of times. Is there a key that you guys are working on to try to limit those quick strikes?
Yeah, again, the biggest thing is you have to be sound with your technique. Everybody's got to be on the same page. That's first things first. And then all that being said, you know, when you play a guy like a guy that's this running the back from the running back from Penn State, he's going to make some plays on his own because he's not your average back. I mean, he's just a different guy. So, you know, if that happens, it happens. You got to keep playing, you know, get up and keep playing. But what we can't do is just give him stuff that's uncontested. If we do that, I already can tell you what the result's going to be. Easy to predict. So, and it's the same way with their tight end. You know, he's a big target. He's going to make some plays just because of his height, and see him on film do a lot of that. So, you know, that's a tough matchup, but we're going to have to really try to be smart positionally, that type of thing. To, you know, if you just let them go where they want to go, it's going to be really difficult for us. So we're going to have to try to be a little bit disruptive that way. But, again, easier said than done.
Coach's Cuts brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. Complimentary consultations available now. Again, the phone number 319-247-7223. The man who brought those back from Iowa City today, he is busy on Tuesdays. We're going to keep him busy with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. The one, the only, Kyle Mann.
It's not really a surprise, but Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media today in Iowa City and did confirm that Akram Wadley is healthy and will be at full go this weekend against Penn State, though he also said that he'll be sure to use Ivory Kelly Martin and Torin Young to keep Wadley fresh. Iowa safety Amani Hooker is heading into his first game as a starter for the Hawkeyes this weekend, and after a strong performance last weekend, he's been named to Pro Football Focus's Week 3 All-Big Ten defense. Iowa State had a handful of selections to the All-Big 12 teams, including David Montgomery on the offense again. He's been recognized every week this season, and on the defense, it was safety Braxton Lewis, as well as former quarterback-turned-linebacker Joel Lanning. Former Cyclone D lineman Justin Thomas will get his chance in the NFL as he reached a deal with the Cleveland Browns today to join their practice squad. Thomas played at Iowa State in 2015 and 2016. The Gazette and KGYM's high school football rankings are out for this week. West Des Moines Dowling sits atop Class 4A, followed by Iowa City West. Cedar Falls is number 8 and Cedar Rapids number 9. Xavier is the top-ranked team in 3A, Solon number 3, and in Class 2A, Williamsburg is at the top with Mount Vernon 3rd. Iowa City Regina is 3rd in Class 1A. The Twins are in action with the Yankees tonight in New York. They'll start up around 6 o'clock, and we'll join that game in progress on 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids.
Thank you very much, Kyle. Have we heard from Jesse Rogers? Do we have an update on Jesse Rogers? Because at this point, I'm becoming concerned. I'm wondering if we need to call the authorities.
Yeah, no, we heard from him eventually. He's okay. Safe. He's healthy. I think maybe he just didn't have real great reception down there in the Trop.
Okay. So he hasn't banned us. Okay. We'll keep him in the rotation. He's our Mike Montgomery. We'll keep him in the rotation. We're not feeling too great about it at this point. But if we need to drop him in there for a spot start, it's better than turning to Jen Hosang, right?
Who's Jen Hosang? Who are you comparing Jen Hosang to?
Our Taiwanese, Tory Hunter? The Taiwanese guests Tory. That we normally have. I ran into somebody at the last Colonel's home game that was very upset that I was not a fan of Tory Hunter. And I said he's a good baseball player, but I think he's a garbage human being for some of the things that he said. And I'm not sorry that I feel that way. I don't have to see, this is the beauty. I don't have to love everybody. We don't have to love everybody. It's okay. If somebody, God knows people feel that way about us. I know that for a fact. They're not shy about telling us. We'll talk a little bit more of Iowa Penn State and hear from some of the players earlier today in Iowa City when we return after this.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 12 years of service.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Kinnick Stadium, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
Participation varies.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Right now, Warriors all-star Kevin Durant admitted he went too far in defending himself on Twitter, called his actions childish and idiotic as he apologized today. Durant, at the TechCrunch conference in San Francisco, said he thinks Twitter's a great way to engage with basketball fans, but he happened to take it a little too far, added he regretted using his former Thunder coach Billy Donovan's name when discussing his experience in Oklahoma City. The top three teams in the AL wildcard race, all in action on ESPN tonight. Yankees host the Twins at the top of the hour. Then the Angels welcome the Indians at 10 Eastern. New York has a 5-game lead for the first wild card. Minnesota's up a game and a half on LA for the second one. NFL Giants coach Ben McAdoo says the team will absolutely stick with Ereck Flowers at left tackle. Flowers struggled in last night's loss to Detroit. He allowed 3 sacks against the Lions. The Dolphins have suspended linebacker Lawrence Timmons indefinitely. ESPN's Jeff Darlington reporting Miami coach Adam Gase still upset with Timmons for going AWOL from the team without notice Saturday night and is not yet satisfied with any of the explanations that he's received.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
There's no better time than right now to protect your family. So if you're like me and have been putting off getting term life insurance, you have to call SelectQuote. Here's the SelectQuote difference. Most companies give you one option, one policy, and one rate. But SelectQuote gives you options, lots of options. SelectQuote shops and can get you up to 15 options from highly rated life insurers. I want you to make the free call today and review your options. Call 1-800-290-0303. SelectQuote has been in business since 1985. I trust them and their licensed U.S. agents because they've already protected over 1.2 million families. For example, a 40-year-old male that takes cholesterol medication could get $500,000 in life insurance for under $25 a month. That could be your cost to protect your family. I want you to give SelectQuote a call at 1-800-290-0303 or go to SelectQuote.com today for a totally free personal quote. 1-800-290-0303. That's 1-800-290-0303. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
You know what's better than getting a new smartphone? Getting as many as you need for $0 a month from Sprint. That's right. Get the best-selling Motorola phone from Sprint for $0 a month for all with Sprint Flex. Plus, with Sprint, you get the best price for unlimited. Visit your local Sprint store, go to Sprint.com/freephones, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today. Sprint. Works for me. Subject to credit, $30 activation fee, 18-month leases, and new line. Up to 10 Moto E for $0 per month after $605 per month credit applied within 2 bills. Early termination results in remaining balance due. Best price compared to national carrier rates for similar unlimited plans. Coverage and offer not everywhere. Restrictions apply.
In baseball, a smooth swing is the best way to get a hit. And in bourbon, a smooth taste is the best way to win over fans. Larceny Wheated Bourbon does just that. It's made with more wheat for a smoother taste. Our master distillers hand-select only the finest barrels for a true small-batch bourbon. Get caught in the act. Unlock the smoothness of Larceny Bourbon today. Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely.
.536, do you think we can do this? Do you think we could get through every single cut we have on this ready sheet? Iowa football players earlier today that Kyle brought back from Iowa City.
It's a lot of cuts.
Nate Stanley, Nick Easley, Amani Hooker, Bo Bauer, Boone Myers, Parker Hesse, and Josie Jewell. There's what? It's a conservative estimate here. 20, 25 clips?
Right about that. Right about in that range.
They're short. Welcome back in the Todd Brummel Camp Show. 5:36, as we mentioned, coming your way on all three frequencies. 106.3 FM, our South Gym in Iowa City. 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. And all across eastern Iowa on the historic main gym, 1600 AM, KGYMradio.com. Don't forget, vote in the poll question today. Submitted by 6562 on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, who will have more yards from scrimmage Saturday night at Kinnick Stadium? Saquon Barkley, Akram Wadley, or another player for either Penn State or Iowa? Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. We'll keep the voting open through 7 o'clock tonight. Ed Creech from MLBTradeRumors.com will be with us in hour number two. Here's why I hate fantasy football. And this may be the last year that I play fantasy football.
What?
Because it is week two, and I already absolutely hate the fact that I got suckered into playing fantasy football for another year this year. I lost last week to a team that drafted Tom Brady in the first round with the number 5 pick. That's just, that's asinine. That's dumb. It's stupid. And I lost to the person who did that. That is not, that's like drafting 2 kickers or 2 defenses, in my opinion.
It's a kicker's year, Todd.
It's a kicker's year. We said that after Scott Unash forgot to change the rankings in his auto draft, plucked Justin Tucker in round four. In Scott's defense, though, he has a fine team this year in the intra-office KGY Listener League.
Well, that's the problem you're outlining
fifth
right
pick,
now.
Fifth pick, Tom Brady.
He auto-drafted, and he has a fine team. We all drafted live.
Well, I don't know. You know what? I'm going to wind up playing again next year. And I just, every year I say I'm done. And you know what? If you're the NFL, thank God for fantasy football, because as bad as everybody is making it sound as far as why people aren't watching the games, can you imagine what the numbers would be, the viewership, if people didn't have an interest in the league because of their fantasy football teams? It might be one of the only things keeping the NFL afloat at this point.
Probably at this point, yes, because the product isn't doing it much service at all.
All right, I'm really tempted to see how much of this we can get through here. It's 5:39. Let's just go in order of the players on the sheet here. And we've got six clips of Nate Stanley talking earlier today about what he needs to do now that the Big Ten season is upon us, what he needs to do to be a better quarterback for the Hawkeyes, and his feelings on some of the younger players here. Let's go ahead and start. This is what he thinks he needs to work on. I think everybody agrees this is Nate Stanley's primary concern going into Big Ten play.
What's been the thing that's maybe most stood out the first three games that you guys can build off of now that you're going into the Big Ten season?
I'll just continue to work on ball security. You know, we've had a couple issues with that last couple games, and just continue to build on that.
Do they all have the questions at the beginning? Because if they do, just fire the damn things off, and then I don't have to do any work. I like this. Let's just, boom, next one.
Key to success on third down. What have you guys been able to really do to have such good success converting?
You know, just execute the plays that Coach Ferentz calls. You know, just being able to convert those third downs, especially using the run to convert those third downs, has really been the key factor.
God, this is awesome. I'm over here playing a game on my phone. I don't even need to work. Next one.
To beat a team like Penn State, number four in the country, is this one of those games where everything has to be going well for the offense? I mean, because you had a slow start against North Texas. You know, I don't know if you can do that against Penn State. Is this one of those games you pinpoint where everything has to be clicking?
Yeah, you know, we definitely have to play a good game, but again, that just comes back to team football, being able to play offense, defense, and special teams efficiently and effectively. So, you know, I think if we can get it clicking on all three phases, then it should be a good game.
Hawks, Penn State, Kinnick Stadium, Saturday, 6:30 kickoff. Nate Stanley next.
You guys remember how you felt last year after the Penn State game? Is that something you guys talk about, like, we don't want to feel like this ever again?
Yeah, but you know, it's more so just being able to go out and compete to the best of our abilities. Obviously, we all remember that feeling and don't really want to feel it again, because it's not the best feeling in the world. So you know, just being able to remember that and learn from it, so it doesn't happen again.
I want one of those every week from Iowa City. That is what I call a Chris Farley show question. I have no idea who asked it, but those are my absolute favorite questions. The do you remember? Do you remember losing to Penn State 41-14? What's the
forgot about
Yeah,
it.
What's the answer you're supposed to give there? No. Do you remember? And I don't know, maybe I'm making a reference people don't get here, but there was a skit on Saturday Night Live back in the day when it was funny again. Saturday Night Live was funny, and then it wasn't very funny, and then it got funny again in the 90s, and then it just, the last 20 years, it hasn't been very funny at all. But Chris Farley did a talk show in which he interviewed people, and one of the ones that I remember, it may have been the first time they ever did it, it was Paul McCartney of the Beatles. And Farley would be like, do you remember that time that, and then it's something completely stupid. Of course he remembers it. And then he'd just be like, yeah, that was awesome. Like, that was awesome. That's a Chris Farley Show question right there. That was great stuff. We're having one of those, Kyle. I want one of those. I don't care whether you have to lurk around and sneak into the huddle. I want one of those. Now, I'm not going to call whoever. I don't want to be a jerk about it. I'm not going to call anybody individually out. They say that there's no such thing as a stupid question. Although, if you heard me ask Kirk last week about the schedule, you know that that's not true. But I want the Chris Farley Show question of the week. Can we play that one back? Here it is. Brand new segment on the show, 5:43 on a Tuesday, Kirk Ferentz news conference, players available early in the morning. It's the Chris Farley Show question of the week.
Do you guys remember how you felt last year after the Penn State game? Is that something you guys talk about, like, we don't want to feel like this ever again?
Yeah, but, you know, it's more so just being able to go out and compete to the best of our abilities. Obviously, we all remember that feeling and don't really want to feel it again because, it's not the best feeling in the world. So, you know, just being able to remember that and learn from it so it doesn't happen again.
Oh, I think we've stumbled on it some. Okay, I don't know whether this is the same guy or not. Give me Bo Bauer. We got one Bo Bauer clip, and it's about last year. Please, 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 God, let this be the same question.
But what do you take from last game, last year's game, into this one, if anything?
If anything, coming mentally prepared. I think we went into that game not as mentally prepared as we needed to be. And when we come to this game, you know, ready to roll, we have to. They're a great team. They've got a lot of great players, and we're going to have to be on the attack.
Is there a sense of wanting to redeem yourself a little bit from what happened last year in Happy Valley?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a salty taste in your mouth, especially when you lose like that. But again, it's a new year, and we just got to come ready to play. It's going to be fun.
Okay, that's my guy John Sears, and that's asking the same question, essentially, although it's asking a question.
Not do you remember?
Yeah.
Can I be the person do every week to go up to these guys?
Do you remember
guys?
That time yesterday when you guys did the checking in with Doug and Daddy, and Doug wasn't there?
Yeah, that
do
was
you
awesome.
Remember that? Okay. I guarantee you we can do that every week because there will be a question, and it's not really ever a question. It's sort of vague and talk about this or give me that. But do you remember that game last year where you guys went to Penn State and they beat you? Yeah. What was that like? Stick the microphone in their face. I want to hear from Parker Hesse here because this is not from Saturday. This is from earlier today. But Parker Hesse was one of the two players that they brought in to the postgame. They brought into Kirk Ferentz's postgame. The last couple years, Ferentz has been taking so god-awful long with Gary Dolphin and Ed Podolak on the Hawkeye Radio Network that you're waiting for 30 minutes, it seems, for Ferentz. So to placate members of the media who are waiting for Ferentz, they bring in one or two players. And on Saturday after the North Texas game, it was Nate Stanley and Parker Hesse. And Hesse comes in, and he's got the red hair, partial mohawk, partial mullet, and he's got the Ultimate Warrior eye black look going on. And he just, man, that is a football player right there. And he was spitting fire talking about, you're darn right. I remember what happened last year. I'm going to revisit that several times during the week. I'm upset about what happened. We're going to get revenge. He didn't promise that they were going to get revenge. But I want to hear Parker Hesse earlier today talking about his feeling from last year's game. The second clip that we've got from Parker Hesse here, this is him very bluntly assessing the 2016 Iowa-Penn State game.
You know, anyone involved with the program was embarrassed, you know, on the flight home from there and watching the film is never fun. But, you know, that's something that you got to put that behind you. You got to look at it objectively and you got to move on. You got to learn from it because, you know, we've had games since then and, you know, we got a game Saturday that we got to play. It's a fresh slate.
Embarrassed. That tells you all you need to know, at least where he's coming from going into this game. Now, I completely agree with what Kirk said earlier today. A lot of guys were not even on the team a year ago. And so they don't necessarily have that experience to draw from. But the guys that were, you cannot convince me that Parker Hesse doesn't want to get quote-unquote revenge this weekend. You can't convince me that those guys on the defensive line along with him don't want to get revenge after Penn State. Would they have 600 and some yards?
359 rushing yards.
359 rushing yards, but they finished with close to 600 total yards.
Yes, I think it was 599 total yards last year.
How do you not want to try to come out and right that wrong if you're a player and that happened to you last year? So I don't blame these guys for wanting to get a little bit of revenge. It's easier said than done against a team as good as Penn State. Now, we don't know how good Penn State really is. We just know they've got good players. And I think that's at least how I look at this. It's game four. It's the first Big Ten game of the year. You really have no idea, but this is the first game where Iowa is going up against another Big Ten team. Big Ten caliber players at every position. And this is going to be a test of their manhood, for lack of a better way to describe this. And we'll know more. And I said this on the call-in show on Saturday, the post-game, and it's completely cliched and it's stupid and it tells you nothing. It just fills airtime, which is 98% of this game. But we learned more. We said we were going to learn more about Iowa after the Wyoming game, and then we said we were going to learn more about them after Iowa State, and then we said we were going to learn more about them after North Texas. We truly will learn more about the Hawkeyes after they play Penn State. They're either going to get embarrassed, which I don't think is very likely. It happened last year due in large part to the fact that it was on the road at State College. They're either going to lose or they're going to win the football game. And those are the two outcomes. And then you take a look at the rest of the schedule moving forward for Iowa. You go to Michigan State. That's kind of tough. A road game. Michigan State's got Notre Dame this weekend, and we don't know a ton about the Spartans at this point either, other than the fact that they're 2-0, and I think we'll be 3-0 when everything is said and done this weekend. I don't see Notre Dame going in and winning that game, even though Michigan State's a 4.5-point underdog, just because I'm not buying into Notre Dame. I think they're one of those teams that's perennially overrated. But after that, you've got Illinois for homecoming. And then, very excited about that. As I mentioned, Adrian Claiborne is going to be the honorary captain for Iowa's homecoming game on October 7th. Then the bye week. And then maybe you get James Butler back at Northwestern, Minnesota. And then the next really, truly big game is November 4th against Ohio State. So if the Hawkeyes get past Penn State, they've got four games on their schedule that I think are at least winnable. I would not necessarily. Now, preseason, I said Northwestern on the 21st was a loss. From what I've seen in Northwestern this year, they just don't look very good. But Iowa doesn't necessarily play all that well when it goes to the Chicago suburbs, so throw that out the window. Minnesota looks pretty darn good right now at 3-0 atop the West, along with Iowa and Wisconsin. But they haven't really played anybody, and they don't play a game this week either. So we won't know much about P.J. Fleck until we see them play their opener. 319-366-1600. I knew we weren't going to get through all of the clips on the sheet. There were a lot of them, but you will hear plenty of them, I'm sure, Saturday, 4:30 on our FM frequencies, 106.3 and 107.5. It's a live extended edition, 90-minute pregame show live from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City before the boom. It begins at 4:30, goes till 6 o'clock. Kickoff is at 6:30. And then after the game is over, an abbreviated edition of After the Final Gun, which will be live again at Coach's Corner as well.
That game on November the 18th for Iowa just got a lot more interesting. Chad Lystico brought it up that a lot of fans thought that Purdue should be ahead of Iowa and their power rankings. I'm not ready to say that. But that Purdue team could legitimately win 7 or 8 games this year because of their schedule. And if that happens, is Jeff Brohm not
coach of the
Big
year.
Ten, or not maybe the national coach of the year? He's in at least in the running or the conversation, but probably almost definitely the Big Ten coach of the year if Purdue wins 8 games.
Missouri is not a very good football
team. They're awful.
But when you take a look at what Purdue's been able to do, and how many times have we seen this where a guy comes in and the other guy had some players there, and he's able to get the most out of them right away. But I agree. Jeff Brohm looks to be a little bit of a game changer. And now if you're Iowa, I talk about turning the tables here. Who would have expected in 2017, when you look at the Big Ten West, Minnesota maybe, but who would have expected Minnesota and Purdue to inspire a little bit more fear than Nebraska? At the beginning
Nobody.
Of the season, everybody's talking Tanner Lee, Nebraska. They're going to be competing with Wisconsin. It's Wisconsin and Nebraska back and forth. And now, power rankings-wise, which, again, those are worth the paper that they're printed on, you got Nebraska sitting there at 1-2, and the sky is falling. And that's why preseason predictions are all but worthless. And I saw somebody today talking about bowl projections. It's September 19th. Nobody knows where any team is going bowling. I don't know why people even waste their time thinking about it at this point. Well, I do, because people are nuts about college football. But bowls, well, you don't even know where your team is going bowling in late October, let alone in September. When is the first, is it week 5 that the first rankings come out as far as the bowl championship series go? Not the bowl championship. Look at me. Did I just come out of a time machine today? Sitting here talking about the BCS. This is what happens when you talk about Nebraska football so much. You automatically start living in the past. I'm going to go home tonight and drink a Fruitopia.
Those are... never mind. Do they make those anymore?
I don't think so.
Okay. So I was not a fan of those.
Fruitopia. All sport is something else that
also
was brought
very
up
rough.
The other day. We had an all sport vending machine in the locker room in my high school. Used to drink that. That's like, I don't even want to know how much sugar was in that. Why were you? Oh, yeah. You need to bring Kyle in here for a big board update, don't you?
Yes, we do.
All right. Kyle? Big board update time. Midwest One, where you're the one.
It's not really a surprise, but Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media today in Iowa City and did confirm that Akram Wadley is healthy and will be at full go this weekend against Penn State, though he also said that he'll be sure to use Ivory, Kelly Martin, and Torin Young to keep Wadley fresh. Iowa safety Imani Hooker is heading into his first game as a starter for the Hawkeyes this weekend, and after a strong performance last weekend, he's been named to Pro Football Focus's Week 3 All-Big Ten defense. Iowa State had a handful of selections to the All-Big 12 teams, including David Montgomery on the offense again. He's been recognized every week this season, and on the defense, it was safety Braxton Lewis, as well as former quarterback-turned-linebacker Joel Lanning. Former Cyclone D lineman Justin Thomas will get his chance in the NFL as he reached a deal with the Cleveland Browns today to join their practice squad. Thomas played at Iowa State in 2015 and 2016. The Gazette and KGYM's high school football rankings are out for this week. West Des Moines Dowling sits atop Class 4A, followed by Iowa City West. Cedar Falls is number 8 and Cedar Rapids Prairie number 9. Xavier is the top-ranked team in 3A, Solon number 3. And in Class 2A, Williamsburg is at the top with Mount Vernon 3rd. Iowa City Regina is 3rd in Class 1A. The Twins are in action with the Yankees in New York tonight. They're going to get started here in just a little bit. We're going to join them in progress after the show on 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids.
It's Jose Berrios on the mound tonight against CC Sabathia. We'll talk Major League Baseball and more with Ed Creech from MLBTradeRumors.com when he joins us next. Hour number 3 on the way.
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast. And you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com. Delivering